Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello. From the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington, this is As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program that helps you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz. It's Saturday, December 26th, 2015, the day after Christmas. It was on this day in 2009 that China opened the world's longest high-speed rail route. It links Beijing and Guangzhou. And on December 26, 2004, a 9.3 magnitude earthquake created a tsunami. It caused death and destruction in Sri Lanka, India, Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, the Maldives, and many other areas around the Indian Ocean. More than 230,000 people were killed. Today on the program, we'll tell you about two holiday songs you might have been hearing a lot in the past few weeks: Jingle Bells and White Christmas. Each of those songs has an interesting story, and we'll tell you those stories today on As It Is. Then, as we do every Saturday, we will bring you an American story. If you're tired from doing year-end gift shopping, relax and think about the poor man you'll hear about in our story today. It's called A Piece of Red Calico. It was written by Frank Stockton. He was a popular writer in the second half of the 19th century. So, you can see, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. We tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. And we tell you some great, funny, interesting stories. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English. Because we exist to help you learn everyday American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America.
Now a special program for the Christmas holiday. Here's Morris Joyce.
Wherever people celebrate Christmas, you can hear Christmas music. Many of the songs are religious. They tell the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Other songs are non-religious. They tell about Santa Claus, reindeer, and gifts. One of the most widely known Christmas songs, however, is not about Christmas at all. It is simply a poem about winter, put to music. The name of the song is Jingle Bells. This is how it goes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
The man who wrote the poem was John Pierpont. Mr. Pierpont was born in the state of Connecticut in the early days of the American Republic. During his long life, he was a lawyer, businessman, churchman, and teacher. He led campaigns to end slavery and to bar the sale of alcohol in the United States. Mr. Pierpont's name appears in a publication about famous Americans. The publication notes that Mr. Pierpont wrote a book called Heirs of Palestine and Other Poems. But it does not say he wrote a poem about winter that is still popular today. Of all the things John Pierpont did, he is not remembered for anything else.
This is Steve Ember with the VOA Special English Holiday Program. Music fills the air. Colorful lights shine brightly in windows. Children and adults open gifts from loved ones and friends. These are all Christmas traditions. Another tradition is snow. Christmas in the northern part of the world comes a few days after the start of winter. In many places, a blanket of clean, white snow covers the ground on Christmas Day. This is what is meant by a white Christmas. Of course, many places do not get snow at Christmas. In fact, they may be very warm this time of year. People who like snow but live where it is warm can only dream of having a white Christmas. American songwriter Irving Berlin captured these feelings in his song, White Christmas. Hundreds of singers and musicians have recorded White Christmas, but the version most people still know best was sung by Bing Crosby.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children
listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry.
Songwriter Irving Berlin was born in Russia in 1888. He did not celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. He was Jewish. But his song celebrates an idea of peace and happiness that anyone, anywhere, snowy or not, can enjoy. This is Steve Embury.
As we do every Saturday, we bring you our popular series, American Stories. Today's story is called A Piece of Red Calico. It was written by Frank Stockton, a popular writer in the second half of the 19th century. He wrote many stories for children and adults. Now, here to tell us the story is Steve Ember.
I was going to town one morning when my wife gave me a little piece of red calico cloth. She asked me if I would have time during the day to buy her 2.5 meters of calico cloth like that. I told her that it would be no trouble at all. Putting the piece of brightly colored cloth in my pocket, I took the train to the city. During the day, I stopped in at a large store. I saw a man walking the floor and asked him where I could see some red calico.
"This way, sir,"
and he led me up the store. "Miss Stone," said he to a young woman,
"show this gentleman some red calico."
"What kind of red do you want?" asked Miss Stone. I showed her the little piece of calico cloth that my wife had given me. She looked at it and gave it back to me. Then she took down a great roll of cloth and spread it out on the counter.
"Why, that isn't the right kind of red," said I.
"No, not exactly," said she, "but it looks nicer than your sample."
"That may be," said I, "but you see, I want it to look like this piece. There is something already made of this kind of calico which needs to be enlarged or fixed or something. I want some calico of the same shade." The girl made no answer, but took down another roll of cloth.
"That's the right color," said she.
"Yes," I answered, "but it is striped."
"Stripes are worn more than anything else in calicos," said she.
"Yes, but this isn't to be worn," I said.
It's for a piece of furniture, I think. At any rate, I want perfectly plain material to go with something already in use.
Well, I don't think you can find it perfectly plain unless you get turkey red, she said.
What is turkey red? I asked.
Turkey red is perfectly plain in calicoes, she answered.
Well, let me see some.
We haven't any turkey red calico left, she said, but we have some very nice plain calicoes in other colors.
I don't want any other color. I want cloth to go with this.
It's hard to find low-cost calico like that, she said, and so I left her.
I next went into a store a few doors up the street. I gave a salesman my sample and asked, "Have you any calico like this?" "Yes, sir," said he. "Third counter to the right." I went to the third counter to the right. A man there looked at my sample on both sides. Then he said, "We haven't any of this." "I was told you had," said I. "We had it, but we're out of it now. You'll get that from an upholsterer, someone who recovers furniture." I went across the street to the upholsterer's store. "Have you anything like this?" I asked.
"No," said the man. "We haven't. Is it for furniture?"
"Yes," I answered.
"Then turkey red is what you want."
"Is turkey red just like this?" I asked.
"No," said he, "but it's much better."
"That makes no difference to me," I said. "I want something just like this."
"But they don't use that for furniture," he said.
"I should think people could use anything they wanted for furniture," I said, somewhat sharply.
"They can, but they don't," he said calmly. "They don't use red like that. They use turkey red."
I said no more, but left. The next place I visited was a very large store. Of the first salesman I saw, I asked if they sold red calico like my sample.
"You'll find that on the second floor," said he.
I went up the steps. There, I asked a man, "Where will I find red calico?"
"In the far room to the left, over there,"
and he pointed to a distant corner. I walked through the crowds of purchasers and salespeople, and around the counters and tables filled with goods, to the far room to the left. When I got there, I asked for red calico.
"The second counter down this side," said the man.
I went there and produced my sample.
"Calicos are downstairs," said the man.
"They told me they were up here," I said.
"Not these plain goods. You'll find them downstairs at the back of the store over on that side."
I went downstairs to the back of the store. "Where will I find red calico like this?" I asked.
"Next counter but one," said the man,
walking with me in the direction he pointed out.
"Dunn, show this man red calicoes."
Mr. Dunn took my sample and looked at it.
"We haven't this shade in that quality of goods," he said.
"Well, do you have it in any quality of goods?" I asked.
"Yes, we've got it finer."
And he took down a piece of calico and unrolled a meter or two of it on the counter.
"That's not this shade," I said.
"No," said he. "It is finer, and the color is better."
"I want it to match this," I said.
"I thought you didn't care about the match," said the salesman. "You said you didn't care for the quality of the goods. You know, you can't match goods unless you take into consideration quality and color both. If you want that quality of goods in red, you ought to get turkey red. I did not think it necessary to answer this comment, but said, "Then you've got nothing like this." "No, sir, but perhaps they may have it in the upholstery department on the 6th floor. So I got in the elevator and went to the 6th floor. "Have you any red material like this?" I said to a young man.
"Red material? Upholstery department, other end of this floor."
I went to the other end of the floor. "I want some red calico," I said to a man.
"Furniture goods?" he asked.
"Yes," said I.
"4th counter to the left."
I went to the 4th counter to the left and showed my sample to a salesman. He looked at it and said,
"You'll get this down on the 1st floor, calico department."
I went down in the elevator and out on the street. I was completely sick of red calico, but I decided to make one more effort. My wife had bought her red calico not long before, and there must be some to be had somewhere. I should have asked her where she got it, but I thought a simple little thing like that could be bought anywhere. I went into another large store. As I entered the door, a sudden nervousness took hold of me. I just could not take out that piece of red calico again. If I had had any other kind of cloth, I think I would have asked them if they could match that. But I stepped up to a young woman and presented my sample with the usual question. "Back room, counter on the left," she said. I went there. "Have you any red calico like this?" I asked the saleswoman.
"No, sir," she said, "but we have it in turkey red."
"Turkey red again!" I surrendered. "All right," I said, "give me turkey red."
"How much, sir?" she asked.
"I don't know, say 15 meters. She looked at me strangely, but measured off 15 meters of turkey red calico. Then she touched the counter and called out, "Cash." A young girl with yellow hair appeared. The woman wrote the number of meters, the name of the goods, her own number, the price, and the amount of money I gave her on a piece of paper. She probably wrote some other things like the color of my eyes and the direction and speed of the wind. She then copied all this into a little book. Then she gave the piece of paper, the money, and the turkey red cloth to the yellow-haired girl. This girl copied the information into a little book she carried. Then she went away with the calico, the paper, and the money. After a very long time, the girl came back, bringing the money I was owed and the package of turkey red calico. I returned to my office, but had time for very little work the rest of the day. When I reached home, I gave the package of calico to my wife. She opened it and declared,
"Why, this doesn't match the piece I gave you."
"Match it," I cried. "Oh, no, it doesn't match it. You didn't want that matched. You were mistaken. What you wanted was turkey red, 3rd counter to the left." I mean, turkey red is what they use. My wife looked at me in surprise, and then I told her my troubles.
"Well," said she, "this turkey red is much nicer looking than what I had. You've got so much of it that I don't have to use the other at all. I wish I had thought of turkey red before.
I wish, from the bottom of my heart, you had, said I.
You've been listening to The American Story, A Piece of Red Calico, by Frank Stockton. It was adapted into VOA Learning English by Shelley Gullist. The program was produced by Lawan Davis. Your storyteller was Steve Ember, and we thank them all. That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you, and has helped you learn everyday American English. We truly do want to hear what interests you. Tell us what you want to hear about. You may hear stories about your interests on a future show. You can send us a letter or a postcard. Our postal address is VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You can also email us. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know that we do read every single message you send us. You can also send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. Once again, that's learningenglish.voanews.com. And while you are on our website, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find podcasts, captioned videos, and lessons to test your English skills. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from The Voice of America.